Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we are coming to you with a special episode with a special guest, yeah. Faith Erin Hicks. Faith, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hey, hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Excited to have you here and excited to be talking about Universal Monsters, The Mummy, the fourth series, if I have my numbers correct, in the Skybound series of series, reinventing the classic monster movies. If you haven't checked out the first issue, it's on stands today, so do go read it. We're going to get into full spoilers. But let's just generally talk about it, because one of the things we've really been enjoying, I think, about this, you know, line is the vastly different approaches that people take to the source material. They're all riffing off of the original movies, but finding a very different way, as you do with the Mummy book. What was your relationship to the original film? What did you know about the original film? And what was putting together this very specific pitch like?
Well, I think for a lot of people my age, including me, my first exposure to The Mummy was the 1999 Brendan Fraser Ritualized Mummy. I remember seeing it in theaters, imprinted on it, you know, as an awkward teen. Was just like, it's full of such beautiful people. So, you know, that was my main exposure to The Mummy, to Universal Monsters, The Mummy. And then when Alex approached me about possibly doing a comic based on this particular franchise, I went back and watched the original movie, which I'd never seen before, and was really surprised and struck by the difference, especially in the two characters of Imhotep, the mummy, and Helen and Anaxunamun. And their versions were very, very different in the 1999 version. In the 1999 version, they're 100% villains, like the mummy and Anaxunamun, like, they're murderers. You know, they start that film by killing the Pharaoh, and that's where everything snowballs. And then when the mummy rises from the dead, he's this horrific CGI monster. He kills people without discrimination. And then going back and watching the original movie, it's not like that at all. You know, Imhotep and Anaxunamun, they're not villains. They're, you know, ordinary people. And Imhotep especially, it's like he doesn't really do anything wrong in historical Egypt. The only thing he does wrong is he's not able to let his girlfriend go. You know, he's not able to let Anaxunamun go. He's not able to grieve her. She dies. And then his great sin is that he tries to raise her from the dead. And then that's it, really. You know, and because of that, because he's just not able to let her go, he's cursed, you know, to have his soul trapped in this dying body, you know, cursed for lived to thousands of years, but, you know, to constantly be trapped, never to, as it's put in the movie, experience the joy of reincarnation, your soul, you know, moving on to your next body. And like that really struck me. It's, you know, again, my main exposure, my first exposure was that 1999 movie. And I'm like, oh, the mummy's actually quite sympathetic. He's not this murderous villain. He's just sad. You know? he just needs a hug. He just wants his girlfriend back, you know, and whomst among us has not experienced these types of emotions. So that was my initial, I guess, light bulb moment, you know, watching the original movie. And I was like, I really want to dive into the romance and the relationship between these two people, and see them as people rather than as monstrous villains, as we've seen them in the more recent version of this particular franchise.
Well, yeah, because the mummy, it's a curse, right? The curse of the mummy, as opposed to it being like the vengeance of the mummy. And I think that's really nice, because it's such a differentiator between like this being the monster. It splits your sympathies in such a really nice way. And I got to say, like reading this first issue, it has like some, it's, you scoop up a lot of those ideas we just talked about, the vibe of the 90s or those new movies, the Brendan Fraser movies, while also feeling even more youthful. And could you tell me how you sort of pushed in that direction, keeping it younger?
Well, my background is mostly in young adult and middle grade graphic novels. This is actually the first book I've done with Skybound. Previous to this, I primarily worked with First Second Books, which is the graphic novel in Prentice McMillan, and they published a wide variety of my work. But for the most part, the age group that I've aimed at has been middle grade children and teens, young adult. You know, I have a lot of heart for that type of reader. And with this, I really wanted to start out seeing Helen with the mummy. I wanted to start out seeing Helen as a young person and seeing who she was in 1920s Cairo, growing up with other teens, and really like introduce her as a person and try and get that emotional connection between her and the reader. I feel like it's just my background in a particular type of comic and then bringing that expertise to a horror book, a horror graphic novel, which is a brand new field for me. It's been wonderful. It's been really cool and really exciting to draw a horror book after so many years of working in, young adult. And I've done fantasy. I've done a lot of realistic fiction. But this is my first horror book.
Well, there's also a lot of at least two metaphors that you're dealing with at the same time in this book, I think, through the mummy and through Helen, at least the way that I read it. One, like you're talking about, the mummy is very much this external force, at least in the first issue. We're focused on Helen, and she's dealing with encroaching adulthood. And there's literally the oldest thing you could imagine is lurking right out of sight of town watching her. Then the other aspect of it that I really was struck by is diving into her being half Egyptian, half British, and same sort of thing with the mummy. He is half alive, he's half dead. He is of the old world and entering this new world. So am I off base, or were those things that you were throwing in there?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely on base. congratulations. Good job. Bravo.
I read.
Well, I mean, it's great. It's great that you can see that on the page, because yes, that was absolutely my intent. I liked the movie does focus on this a little bit, on the fact that Helen is someone from two worlds. You know, she is in the film, she is half Egyptian. Her family is mentioned in passing. I got the impression they are maybe someone high up the social ladder. But her father is British and white. And I thought it would be really, really interesting to delve into that part of her character. It's like she is someone who's caught between two worlds, and then the mummy appears and he appeals to the part of her that is, that is older, that is drawn to this old ancient Egypt. It's definitely a theme that I've been working on throughout the course of the book, and I'm so glad it came off.
Yeah.
From the art perspective of the art, you said a horror book, moving into that, like how did it feel going into that direction and incorporating your style, incorporating horror into your style of art?
It was a really wonderful challenge. Initially, Alex, my editor at Skybound, had approached me, and he was only initially interested in hiring me as a writer. And then some personal things happened. And then, basically I had to put the project aside for the moment in order to deal with a personal situation. And then Alex came back to me about, I believe, 6 to 8 months later and was like, we still don't have a writer for this. Are you still interested? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm still interested. I do really like this project. This personal situation has been resolved. But I'm really interested in drawing it, would that be something that you would be interested in? And I don't know, like he was really nice about it, but I got the idea. I kind of got the impression that maybe he was sweating a little bit because it's like, my art is kind of YA flavored, I guess. It is cartoony. I do really focus on, putting the human character dead center in the panel, letting them feel their emotions. It's a style of creating comics. And with this project, I didn't want to do that. I really wanted to challenge myself. I wanted, to do a lot of, as much historical research as I could into Cairo and, really emphasize that particular setting. And I wanted to draw things that were scary. I actually have worked on, I guess you could say it's a horror book or a horror flavored book. I drew the prequel to The Last of Us video game, which was published by Dark Horse in 2013. So quite a while ago. So that definitely has horror flavor to it. It's a different type of horror book, I believe. It was this beautiful, wonderful challenge. I worked incredibly hard on it. And I was so thrilled when Alex was like, yep, you got the job. And, didn't see him sweating through his email, but I'm sure he was.
Well, what is important for a horror comic then? Because this is something we talk about a lot. We read a lot of horror comics on our show. We review a lot of them. And it's obviously a still page. It's very hard to do those jump scares or those other things. You're not getting musical stings in there. So when you are approaching it, what makes it horror to you beyond the fact that you have the central figure of the mummy?
I do find horror is very much individual taste. So what works for me, like my favorite horror cartoonist is M. Carroll, A Guest in the House. I don't know if you've heard of that book. It came out last year. It's incredible. It's amazing. If you like horror, please, please read it. And their work is all mood, and it's like weird creeping dread and then like images that are on some levels really frightening and unsettling but also really beautiful. Like, oh my god, that book is so great. I saw it and it blew my mind. I was just like, this is everything I want from horror comics. For me it was like I really wanted to emphasize the creeping dread in the mummy because that to me is the source of the horror in the movie. I really wanted to create a world that was like dusty and kind of old looking. I'll grab one of my pages right here. Yeah. So this is one of the pages here. And what I did was, I'd never done this before, but, to give the pages more of like an antique feel, I did, basically ink wash. I diluted ink over top and then did like an ink wash over top of my regular inks. So I work like half digitally, half traditionally. So I pencil my comic pages on, my Cintiq, then print them out and do my inks over top those printed pencils. But yeah, like I've never done this style of ink wash before. And I just feel like it gave everything kind of this moody flavor. So it was great, but I will say it is very messy. It is very time consuming and I'm never doing it again.
Well, I got to say it's really effective not to try to get you to do more hard work in that way, but like it gives that old Hollywood feel almost to take it into cinema that I think really works. And then I think in comics, there are a couple ways to do horror like we're talking about. There's the like turn the page and here's the worst thing the artist could think of to show you in that moment. Or there's the other way of like, withholding, having a character turn away when we really want to see their face and like building slow tension. I think this book does that so well. Like there's an unsettling nature to it. And you have some of these like wider panels here where, when Helen's in the desert, she loses consciousness and like, there's just, you cut to this wide, you show this wide panel and the mummy's in the distance walking away. And I was like, oh man, I'm stressed. So like, it's super effective, what you're doing, I think, especially from the hard, sort of a harder horror version where you make me feel it for a long tracks of the book.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, that was my goal. And it was very much inspired by the movie. Like, the movie's not gory. It is very much a movie of creeping dread, of like Helen slowly realizing that this undead creature has some kind of power, some kind of connection to her, and how is she going to face that? It has some moments of violence, which I did really emphasize later in the story, because, you know, who doesn't love some violence, right? Yeah. in your comic books, I mean, not in real life, in your comic books.
But I just picked up a baseball bat when you said that, so I'm glad you stopped me. It was about to get crazy.
Oh, no. Art does cause violence, so yeah, yes. Here's the first. But yeah, like, that was something I really wanted to emphasize, the growing dread and horror in the book. So I'm so glad it came across.
I mean, the other aspect of the art, though, is you have these great colors by Lee Lowridge. What was it like working with him, and what was important in terms of this new process that you were working with to make sure to emphasize him once the colors were added later?
Lee is amazing. I feel like I've had no notes whenever he sends me an issue, because he's just like so genius. He's really badass too. Like, he'll just be like, hey, I colored this entire issue in like 2 days. And I'll just be like, what? Whoa. Like, how did you do that? I shouldn't say that. I hope I don't make life difficult for him by saying,
I gotta feel like that's a great draw for future work for Lee.
Well, but we don't want people to be like losing sleep for comics. It's very important. Cartoonists need 8 hours a night. he's amazing. I've actually admired his work for years. You know, I'm a big admirer of Becky Cloonan, and I know he's worked with her. And he's always been a colorist I thought was really amazing.
Yeah. This is looking very beyond, but you are the fourth of four miniseries so far, as we've talked about. One of the hallmarks of the Universal Monsters franchise is the crossovers. If you were going to cross over the Mummy with one of the other monsters or one of the other series before, which one would it be?
Mm. I have not thought about this, weirdly enough, because like, I know Universal Monsters is known for its crossovers, and I do think they're kind of hilarious, but...
Also, comics big into crossovers.
Yes, I've noticed. This is a very lame answer, and I don't really have any like horror reason for it. But it's like, the Mummy wears bandages, and so does the Invisible Man. So maybe they can hang out.
There you go. Trade clothes. No, it's
so
good.
Dumb.
No, I'm into it. I'm 100% into it.
They're gonna bump into each other at the pharmacy,
yeah.
If nothing.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Are you here as well? All right.
Let's swap bandages. I can see a Mummy Frankenstein foot race in the future, famously plotting monsters.
I mean, I guess the Mummy maybe has the most in common with someone like Dracula, because, you know, they're both ancient and I guess technically immortal, although, I mean, it's Dracula's immortality. Like, he doesn't regard that as a curse, right? Like, he's just like, yay, I'm immortal.
No, more blood to suck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Whereas the Mummy's immortality is a curse. So, but yeah, I don't know. I could imagine them like, you know, having like a therapy session together and complaining about various like the crap they have to go through as immortal beings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the 10th century, am I right?
Yeah. Keeping up with all the changes in technology, it's the worst.
You have an iPhone 4 charger?
To jump to the end of the first issue, we have the Mummy slowly encroaching on where Helen is. They're starting to come together. Helen has started to realize she has all of these past lives. What can folks look forward to over the course of the rest of the series?
More creeping dread. Helen going on a journey with the mysterious voice in her head, discovering who that person is, discovering maybe that person does not have Helen's best interests at heart. The introduction of Ardeth Bay, who is the character in the original Mummy movie. Let's see, what else? I had to draw a lot of guys in suits. So that's fun and exciting.
Yeah. Is that good? Is it hard to draw guys in suits?
It is hard. It is okay. So hard to draw guys in suits. I don't like doing it. It's like, I'm so glad fashion has changed. And if I do a contemporary book, it's just like, you know, everyone's wearing jeans and tees. That's it.
Let me ask you, how gory do you get? Can we expect any major gore at any point?
There is violence. Because of the tone of the book, I've chosen to portray the emotion of that violence rather than maybe the gory or physical aspect of it. So there's definitely violence. There's also emotional violence. There's also the feeling of being buried alive, which is horrifying to me as someone who's quite claustrophobic. I definitely put like my own fears and anxieties on the page.
And tying back to the other Mummy series, are we going to see the Scorpion King later on in this book?
No, that guy sucks.
Yes. Definitive answer there. Finally.
I mean, I watched those movies. I will admit it. I absolutely watched those movies, and they're not great. They're not great.
Yeah.
That's all right. This book is great. I'm very excited to see where it goes next. Congratulations on it. And fingers crossed we get that Mummy Invisible Man crossover that we're all asking
for. Yeah.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.